It is time for the week that was, which is, of course, brought to you by BTC Constructions. From residential, commercial to project management, they cover all aspects of construction. And joining me in the studio is Leah Finocchiaro, the leader of the CLP. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie, and good morning, listeners.
And we've also got Robin Lamley, the deputy leader of Territory Alliance. Good morning to you, Robin.
Good morning, Katie. Great to be here.
Natasha Files, the Attorney General.
Good morning. You're being very diplomatic, Wolfie.
I was just making sure I'm trying to get everyone's titles right. And Matt Cunningham from Sky News. Good morning.
G'day, Katie.
And we are practicing social distancing, sort of, if anyone's wondering. We're making sure that we don't breathe on each other or do anything wrong.
I thought it was because we didn't like each other, Katie.
Are you going to explain that social distancing? You made it sound a bit...
Sound a bit odd. It's not odd. Everything's okay.
We can certainly confirm that there's at least a good metre and a half between Leah and Robin. At least.
Well, let's get into it. And, well, as we all know, the very serious news of the week has certainly been coronavirus. And there's so many aspects of this really to go from. There's been some huge restrictions put into place in Australia over the last few days, including the fact that a number of flights, well, those international flights really have now either been restricted or cancelled. All Australians are being urged to get home as quickly as possible, but that is sometimes easier said than done. We also know that there's restrictions on large gatherings. Natasha, let's go to you first as the Health Minister. What is really the latest advice? I know that the Chief Minister this morning, I believe, is in a meeting with the Prime Minister and the other state and territory leaders.
So, Katie, the Northern Territory is well prepared for the coronavirus, and the longer we can delay the arrival of the coronavirus, the better prepared we will be. It will come to the Northern Territory. We've seen that one case of the New South Wales tourist who remains in Royal Darwin Hospital in isolation. To be released from hospital, he needs to have those two negative tests, and so he will remain there until that happens. But we've stood up the pandemic clinic at Royal Darwin Hospital. We're looking at the other pandemic clinics across the territory. So there's certainly lots of plans being put in place, and we really want to restrict that community spread of the coronavirus. But as you said, the Chief Minister is presently in that National Cabinet meeting, and we'll update Territorians when that finishes.
One of the really big questions that's been asked by our listeners this week is if somebody comes back from overseas and they have to self-quarantine for 14 days and they're at your work or they're somewhere where they're not supposed to be and they should be in quarantine, who do people need to call and what advice do they need to follow?
So anyone who's been overseas has to quarantine for 14 days. If they fly into Sydney, they are able to, for example, transit through to Darwin. And if they arrive in Darwin, for example, they're able to perhaps drive down to Katherine. They are able to transit home because we want them in isolation in their homes. If somebody believes that someone is not self-quarantining, they should contact that public health unit hotline to provide that information.
So, okay.
But we are seeing, and we saw out of Queensland, Katie, they did thorough monitoring of their first stage of compliance with quarantining, and they saw a very high rate of compliance. People understand this and they don't want that responsibility of potentially spreading
it. So it's the public health unit hotline, and we will make sure that we jump online and share that with our listeners as well, because it is something, like I say, even this morning before we got on air, we'd already had calls about that. So people are obviously a little bit concerned.
Katie, we're getting huge volumes of calls, and we need to encourage people that if they are well, to not call that. We're getting a lot of people that are worried well, and we certainly want to reassure the community. And there's clinical processes in place. So they'll take down your details, they go through a clinical checklist on that hotline, and then they'll make a decision whether someone needs to be tested for the coronavirus.
Now, obviously there's so many aspects of this discussion, and I will get to the stimulus and the economic side of it in just a moment, but I want to talk about the further restrictions that some people are flagging, or some people are certainly talking about. Obviously, school is one of the things that impacts so many of us, and we want to make sure that the schools, the advice is that at this stage it's still well and truly safe for the kids to go to school. I know that we were just talking about this off air. In some instances, you know, the assemblies, the larger assemblies are being cancelled or changed. Leah, at the schools that are in your electorate, have you seen much of a difference?
Yes, schools certainly are taking their own precautions. Of course, we encourage everyone to follow that professional advice, and I know the Secure NT Facebook page and website has got all of the most up-to-date information. So if people are wondering where am I going to get information from, they really must find out from Secure NT or ring the hotline.
Katie, can I just jump in? Sorry. Sorry, yes. Leah, it's really important. Sorry to cut you off there. That's SecureNT. There's a Facebook page, there's an app, there's a website. That is the best place for access to information that is truthful. There's a lot of misinformation flying around. So we will update the community as we need to and as there's changes. We've absolutely committed to that. We did that through when we had the Diamond Princess and the China evacuees here. So that SecureNT is the best source, and all the government agencies will share off that. So just to make that really clear.
And just to additionally clarify for those who might not have access to a computer or to the internet, Natasha, are you able to explain to people who are listening who don't have access to that type of technology how they would then, is there a hotline for them?
So I think it's important that we all base our information off that SecureNT. So all of us can provide that information. And that's something, Katie, that's been really interesting to see is the community spirit, people looking out for each other. There's been people wanting to share services. I know one of the cafes in my community is doing free home delivery if someone is in isolation or if they're elderly and they don't want to go out into the community. But that SecureNT is your portal for information that is accurate, and then share it from that.
Okay, I've got a message from a listener. It says, when will they start testing locals who've travelled interstate and have symptoms? Currently, the hotline are declining anyone who hasn't travelled overseas, even though there is local cases in other states of people who haven't travelled overseas.
So, Katie, they are making those tests and who gets tested for the coronavirus based off clinical information. There's a couple of aspects to this. We don't want to unnecessarily test people and then come back with a negative test, and then when they get ill in a few days' time, they actually do have the coronavirus. So it's based off clinical information, and it's also about preserving the stocks of tests that we have. So every decision, and so someone might call up, for example, on a Sunday to that hotline. They'll go through all the information, close contact, travelled overseas, what is relevant. They then may say you need to be in self-isolation and come in on Monday for that test. So everything is being done in a structured clinical manner.
Now, can we talk about closing the borders? Because I know that this is a point of contention for some. We had Dave Tollner on the show earlier this week. He said we should be opening them up and allowing the grey nomads and others who want to come and camp and be here, really, to be here. But that's not the common, the common theory, I guess, or the thinking of a lot of Territorians at this point in time. In fact, I would say just about everybody that I'm talking to is saying, let's close them off.
And look, certainly, Katie, it is that fine balance, and that is why it is so important for government to get this right, and I fully appreciate that they are being guided by the expert advice, but they have a significant role to play here in slowing this thing down and taking precautions. Of course, there is a devastating impact on our economy. I know you said we will talk about that into the future, but by closing our borders, we further reinforce those economic consequences. When I was in Alice Springs earlier in the week or last week, talking to locals, their understanding was there was a lot of grey nomads sitting in Port Augusta sort of waiting to do their normal flow up to the territory. But of course, those health concerns, the social concerns and the economic concerns all need to be balanced out for the government to make the absolute best decision on behalf of Territorians.
Yeah, look, I don't feel equipped to make that decision knowing what I know. Obviously, Natasha and her government are the people to make that decision. But we do have a very vulnerable population in the Northern Territory. I know Aboriginal people in my part of the world, Central Australia, are very concerned about what this means to them. So I guess for that reason, I think closing the borders would be a good idea to protect them. But we need to be fed, and we need our freight to be coming in. We need to keep our businesses functioning as best they can. So striking that balance can be a decision of the government.
And that's sort of what they did in Tasmania, didn't they, Matt? Where they haven't necessarily completely closed the borders off, but they've made it that there are some pretty strict protocols for people coming in and out.
Well, anyone who's a non-essential traveller into Tasmania now has to self-isolate for 14 days. So I think that's probably an option that's available to the Northern Territory government. And obviously, they're trying to work out exactly. I mean, it sounds like from everything the Chief Minister's said in the past couple of days, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tash, that, I mean, that's a real option to not necessarily. I'm not even sure if they can totally close the borders, but certainly to put serious restrictions around those borders.
So we've already taken those measures, Matt, to protect the remote communities by banning all non-essential travel to remote communities, and we will do whatever it takes to keep Territorians safe.
I want to talk about about as well, and again, we'll go more deeply into the economics of it in just a moment, but one of the really big impacts we're seeing at the moment is the decrease in flights. And you can understand that. People are obviously pretty worried about flying. But, you know, even when you talk about our remote communities, in a lot of cases, in some of those remote communities, you've got doctors and nurses who are flying, you know, they may be actually from an agency that are flying in from interstate and then doing time in a remote community. And that's their regular, you know, that is their regular role. This is getting tougher in terms of having people sort of get in between states. And I guess a lot of us think of that from a travel perspective, but the reality is there's some fairly essential staff that do fly in and out of the territory.
I think we're in unprecedented times, Katie. I don't think any of us could have predicted this, and every few days it changes to another level. We are certainly making sure that we try and keep as many flights as possible, because we do have a workforce that relies on it. We do need that transit for essential services, but we have seen Qantas and Jetstar and Virgin make commercial decisions. You know, a number of staff, I'm not sure of the exact figures, have been stood down on either no pay or half pay that work in those industries, and that will impact even people here in the territory. So our thoughts are certainly with those individuals, but we are working as closely as we can with the business sector to make sure that we do see those resources that we need are open into the territory.
Robin, how are things in Alice Springs? Because, I mean, it's even earlier this year or late last year, Alice Springs was in a situation where some of those flights had changed anyway.
Well, I flew up here last night, so I went to the Alice Springs airport yesterday afternoon. The staff were waiting to join a telephone conference to be told about their future, whether their jobs were about to be cut. So they were having difficulty holding it together. I know a lot of those women, those Qantas employees. The airport was empty. The plane was not even 25% full. Then we got to Darwin, and again, an empty airport with a very strange atmosphere. So this is the way things are going to be going forward over the foreseeable future. Can I just say, just going back to a previous point, Aboriginal people don't see borders, particularly in Central Australia. They're crossing borders constantly between Queensland, South Australia and WA. You cannot stop people from moving about the lands that they have. One interesting point that someone raised to me during the week is the $750 bonus that people will be getting will mean that they'll all be coming to town. And, you know, people see that as a potential problem. Look, you just can't stop people from living their lives to some extent, and you can't stop them from moving from their community to a place like Alice Springs.
Well, Scott McConnell made that point about the $750 payment, and I think it's probably a reasonable one. We've seen with these stimulus-type measures before. I mean, that could be an issue if suddenly at the end of this month those payments are landing in bank accounts, that people, we could see those people then come in. This is Scott's point. Come into Alice Springs, come into Katherine, come into Darwin, where they're probably at higher risk of contracting the virus and then going back out to their community. Absolutely. So I think that's going to be a massive issue.
We saw years ago the Rudd government gave everyone a $900 bonus, and you know, it was a spending frenzy. It was absolutely magnificent for all businesses across Australia, and I remember from my perspective as a business owner, it was a great thing, and it's exactly what businesses need to survive. In Alice Springs there are businesses literally closing as we speak because of the impact of the coronavirus. So, you know, it's a catch-22. We have to allow people to spend this money as they choose, and we need to have that stimulus so people have jobs and businesses survive.
Do we need to, for the greater good, for the 2 weeks after those stimulus payments go in, need to close all bottle shops in the Northern Territory or take some sort of drastic measure like that to make sure that, you know, this money is spent? I mean, we know it needs to be spent at businesses, but the last thing I think we want is for that money to be spent on a river of grog.
Mm-hmm. Natasha?
Katie, just a couple of things around that. So my understanding is those payments will go through the basics card, and so it does restrict what people can purchase. We've been working, government has been with those outback stores to make sure that there's supplies of fridges and freezers and things that the stimulus can support businesses, but also give community individuals some assets into the future. Of course, in terms of alcohol, if the police commissioner feels that there is, you know, we do see people are very subdued at the moment. I think we all feel that sense in our communities. But if we do start to see, you know, a negative impact on our community, the police commissioner has that powers if they need to enact that.
All right, we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the impact that this is having on the economy. But look, while we were talking then, my producer, Ronnie, did just call the number, Natasha, that you told us to, and she's waiting to find out, you know, really like what gets said, just so that we're able to let our listeners know. Because like I say, we have had quite a few people calling about this. I don't know whether it's because they've got people coming back from overseas and they're worried that people are not self-quarantining. I guess everybody has got a heightened sense of anxiety.
So, Katie, we've been making sure that SecureNT website and information source has a variety of information. So is it information for business owners? Is it information for, you know, somebody that's got friend or family that's come back from overseas? Is it information for, you know, a parent of a school-aged child? So all the information for different aspects of life in general is going through that site so that we can try and if people have got questions, certainly in terms of we will try and provide that information around different sources. And as this continues to evolve, there's different types of information that needs to be made available.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
I'm in the studio with Leah Finocchiaro, Robin Lamley and Natasha Files and Matt Cunningham. And, well, let's talk about the economic impact that the coronavirus is having at the moment. We know that the Northern Territory government announced a stimulus package earlier in the week, the Home Improvement Scheme, a new home improvement scheme where all Territorians who own a home, be it investment or residential, will receive $6,000 to undertake renovations and improvements to their property. You'll need to put in $2,000 and then you'll get an additional $6,000, or you can put in $1,000 and receive $3,000. Now, there's also the Business Improvement Scheme, and this one basically, a business will receive $10,000, all eligible businesses. And then if you want to put money in, you can put $10,000 of your own and then you'll get an additional $10,000. So that takes it up to $30,000. Now, look, from the feedback we've had so far, there's been a couple of tradies that we've spoken to and a couple of business owners who've said that they've already had a number of quotes, a number of people requesting quotes, and that they're hoping that this has a really strong flow-on effect. I'd ask them, you know, do you think that this is going to mean that your trades people and people that are working for you are then going to spend that money in the community? They certainly hope so. But look, I think the big thing with this at the moment is there's that uncertainty for everybody. So, you know, if you're in a situation where you're able to obviously spend that money and do that renovation on your home, it is fantastic. And it's a fantastic announcement. But for a lot of people, if you're renting or if you are uncertain about the security of your current employment situation, I think everybody's sort of saying, well, we need more and we maybe need to look a bit wider, which the Chief Minister hasn't ruled out. And we know that the Prime Minister, I believe, today as well, is also going to be announcing some additional measures. Matt, is that right, as part of their stimulus?
Yeah, well, they announced a $17 billion stimulus already, but the one being announced today is going to be even bigger, apparently. And so we'll wait and see on the details of that. I think you make a good point just around this scheme that the NT government's announced this week. And I think, you know, in many ways it's a good one. We've seen it work before. We saw it work under the previous government. We saw it work when the Labor did the same thing after they came to power. But I think you're right. In these times, it's sort of a different situation. And you wonder how many people in town at the moment or in the territory at the moment are going, you know, do I want to put that $2,000 in at the moment, or do I need to get the $6,000, or am I going to squirrel that money away?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people at the moment are probably thinking, you know, am I going to have a job next week, next month? I need to sort of be as careful as
have job security, like public servants. It's a time to spend.
Yep.
Absolutely. Go out, have coffee, don't stay at home, spend your money, upgrade your furniture, your car. car, you know, your gym suit or whatever. You know, it's the time for people who have job security to absolutely spend.
You know, Territorians are hurting, and they've been hurting for some time because, unfortunately, we don't have that resilience built into our economy right now. We're approaching this unprecedented situation from a really low base. You know, we already had businesses who were closing their doors and on the brink of closing their doors. And so it is a very challenging time for the Territory. Mm. People are undoubtedly losing sleep at night about their job security, their businesses, their staff, and their future. And that's why it is so important that stimulus packages like this are released by the government. We made an announcement around a stimulus package last weekend and called on the government to do something immediately. And when the Chief Minister made this announcement about his big $60 million stimulus, I rang him and said, thank you. It's really important that we are working together to try and plug the holes where we can to keep people working. And this won't be a silver bullet, Katie, but it is a big injection and it is a big incentive for those who can rally behind and spend money and keep people in jobs. And I expect we will see more from the Territory Government to plug some of those other gaps that aren't being reached by that particular stimulus.
When you talk about then, you know, the broader community and the broader business community, and Robin, I know that your family is in retail. Mm. It's a tough time for our retailers and also a tough time for those in the hospitality industry.
Absolutely. Even before the coronavirus, things were incredibly tough. Our business up here has really struggled, limped along like many, many other businesses, and it's getting worse. So, you know, things are grim in our family, but, you know, we're not alone. And, you know, I absolutely understand what people are going through. Yeah. I had a call last night from a local cafe owner who buys his milk and other things from Woolworths, and now he can only get 2 cartons of milk at a time.
Wow, I hadn't even thought of that.
And his whole pricing is based on the fact that he gets cheap home brand milk and different things from what the major supermarkets. So he's about to close, and he said he's not alone. So after this coronavirus ends, a place like Alice Springs will not have half the amenities that we have now.
Can I just put a shout out to the businesses, though, who are, I mean, they're all digging so deep, and we are seeing innovation like we've never seen before, and it is so heartening. You know, I think we were talking off air about cafes and restaurants trying to do different initiatives like takeaways and other types of things. I mean, you know, this is heartbreaking, unprecedented times, but for those who are just fighting so hard, well done. It's being noticed, and I think Territorians will rally behind you.
You know what stinks, though? An issue that's been raised with me is an allegation that the major supermarkets are price gouging as we speak.
Yeah.
That the price of have almost doubled. I went into a supermarket this morning, and I noticed a product that I normally pay $1 for has gone up to $2. So, you know, they need to pull their heads in. People are doing it tough. It's not the time for Coles and Woolies to be cashing in on people's hardship.
And Robin, you know, you see the best and the worst in people, I reckon, in these crisis times. And what I've liked seeing is, you know, and Leah, you touched on it, some of the innovation from small business, but you also see, you know, some of these supermarkets around the place, like I've seen in Fanny Bay, you know, they've been putting up videos and saying, hey, we're doing this. We've still got your toilet paper. We've still got your pasta. We've still got what you need. They'll probably sell out now. I don't know. But then even the IGA. Even the IGA. You know, there's so many of these smaller sort of locals. And I think it's really important that you support your local business at this point
absolutely,
in time. And I know
Katie.
Everyone's been saying that. But, you know, we talk about, you know, you talk about tourism. You're talking about hospitality. We're talking about so many industries. If you've got money that you're able to spend locally, get out there and do it. You know, our little family goes for sushi regularly. I'm not going to stop doing that. Mm. But when I went in there the other day, they had so many less people than what they usually have in there. And, you know, it's, and they've, managed to sort of spread the tables out and things so that there's more space. I went then to another restaurant down in the city and there was two people in there having dinner. I saw at the deck bar, you know, Jason had put on, he still had a Muso out there on the guitar and there was only about four people on the deck. But you've got people that are genuinely doing the best that they can.
Everything they can.
Everything they can to try and keep going. And I think that if you've got that spare $20 and you're able to go and eat there, you're able to go and support them, go and do it.
Well, it's the double-edged sword too, isn't it, Katie? Because, I mean, at one level, people are stopping going out because they're worried, they have health concerns. And then on top of that, people are stopping spending money because they have economic concerns. Now, that's where I think the stimulus that the federal government announces today and, you know, hopefully the NT government announces another stimulus is aimed just at that. And I don't know whether there's a voucher system or something where people can be given vouchers to actually go and spend in local businesses.
Great idea.
So that then, you know, you can actually, you know, because there is the danger, as I was saying before, that if the money just goes into the bank account in this environment, people might just squirrel it away. But if there's some kind of voucher system that says every Territorian gets $500 that they can go and spend at a local restaurant, at a local cafe, somewhere like that, then that might be enough to build that bridge, as I was saying yesterday, the federal government, to get through the next 6 to 12 months so that when we come out the other side of that, those businesses are still there. Because as Robin was saying, there's a real chance that if we don't get this right, when we get out the other side of this, our towns and our cities are going to look very different to what they look today.
I reckon that'd be a wonderful thing to see. And I know that there was even talk this morning, and I don't know whether it will eventuate or whether there'll be anything more than talk, but about the banks looking at you know, with at holding off some of those mortgage repayments and things. Again, I don't know whether we're going to see that happen. But if we can try and ease the pressure on people as much as we can for the next 6 months, it will hopefully avoid us ending up in a worse situation. I know that all of these measures, they are simply going to be a band-aid, but we actually need a bloody big band-aid at the moment.
The Northern Territory Government, we've rolled out that $65 million jobs and rescue and recovery package. The Commonwealth Government, we've seen their first package and we'll hear their second package later today. We're committed to making sure that we can keep as many Territorians working as possible. You know, the tradie stimulus, those measures, those tradies will then still be buying lunch, buying coffees, and it flows through. But we certainly know that the hospitality, the retail sector are doing it tough and it will get tougher.
I've got a message here from one of our listeners. It says we've got 22,000 public servants on guaranteed income. Even if they don't go to work, please use some of our taxpayers' money and support small businesses.
Well, 22,000 full-time employees, Katie, and so more like 35,000 public servants, and when you include the federal government ones as well, even higher. So
we all donated generously to the bushfire appeal. It's time to spend money and back our local businesses and keep our people in jobs. And absolutely.
It's interesting when you were saying, Katie, about when we were talking about Coles and Woolies earlier and then supporting your local IGAs as well. I certainly know with Zakoli IGA, because Coles and Woolies are closing earlier, you know, there's opportunity there for them to pick up some of that business as well, where people are starting to shop more locally. So, you know, which is great for them.
Look after your locals. Last night I could hear my husband downstairs and I thought, what are you doing? He was hanging a territory flag on our fence. A bit of territory spirit.
I love it.
Maybe we all need to just be a little bit more, you know, really, I don't know, try to look out for each other. And I think that, like I say, you've got to do that in these times of difficulty. And throughout the week, we heard some really nice stories as well of people looking after each other. And I think that if you are somebody who can go and walk a dog for a senior or go and do something for pensioners, you know, a little gesture can really help other people and it can give you the lift you need.
Well, I don't think there's many good things to come out of this whole terrible situation, but if there is one, I think it's almost like we're having a global reset, because we really reached a point in this country, even in this world, where, you know, largely driven by social media, we just become, you know, we're turning into these sort of tribal idiots who just yell at one another over the most stupid, trivial things. And
on social media most of the time.
I think all of this probably puts a lot of that into perspective. And hopefully, if there's a good thing that can come out of this, it's that, you know, we sort of regain some of that sense of community spirit.
I mean, on that social media, we know some people are really, really stressed out by what's going on. They're really scared. And so we have to be really mindful of people's health and their mental health as, you know, this all unfolds and we don't know what it's going to look like. We can obviously follow the lead of the government and the experts. But for those people who are really struggling to understand and be able to process this, you know, it is important that you have those breaks from social media. I think the advice was yesterday, if it's becoming overwhelming, you know, just turn your phone off and get back in contact with your family and start to focus on what's important, which of course is easier said than done, but you know, we've got to be mindful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now I do want to give you a bit of an update. Ronnie contacted that hotline and they've told her to either call the police or the NT Department of Health about that situation, Natasha. So if you're trying to dob in somebody who's been overseas or tell the department or tell the authorities about somebody who's been overseas and isn't self-quarantining. So I don't know how that's, you know, how we're going to go now with that number. So that hotline has told her to either call the police or the Department of Health.
So, Katie, there's a national coronavirus hotline number for people to call if they've got general questions. And then there's also the public health number. But we are seeing the need for more and more information. So
but
we will try and post that.
Yes, if you're trying to tell someone that there's someone who's not self-quarantining.
Yeah. So we'll make sure that we post the information to Secure NT and post also the numbers that people need to call.
All right. She says she's still on the phone.
You know, what I reckon the best solution to that problem is that if you see someone who's not self-quarantining, and I suspect this will happen if you know that, you know, I think there'll be people on the street saying, hey, get back inside or get back where you're supposed to be.
I think that was the advice. I think the deputy chief health officer said that in one of her press conferences, like by its very nature, it will be, you know, people will be calling other people out.
And I guess this is the thing, and they're trying to call other people out, but that's the whole point, you know, that we're sort of saying now. And this is the whole point that our listeners have been saying, is that they've been trying to do that, but they don't know who to call then.
But I think that in the whole situation, it gets to a point where there has to be a certain level of personal responsibility involved. Governments can't do everything for a society. We can't say, oh, you know, how are you going to sort this out, government? How are you going to sort that out, government? They've got so much they have to deal with at the moment. And, you know, at another level, some of us are going to have to be grown-ups. We're going to have to stop buying 100 rolls of toilet paper every time we go to the shop. We're going to have to self-isolate if we're supposed to self-isolate, not be reckless, not be stupid. And I think 99% of people do the right thing. And to the other 1%, I'd just say, you know, take a good look at yourself. And I just don't think we can expect the government to solve all of these problems.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
And we were just talking about cleanliness and making sure that you try not to spread germs, which is incredibly difficult when you've got young children, as we were discussing in here. But look, I want to get to one of the other issues that obviously has come up throughout the week, and that is opposition status here in the Northern Territory. We know that Territory Alliance has now got 3 members. Robin, you made the decision throughout the week to join Territory Alliance. Why?
Katie, I'm not going to talk about myself today. I know what the response is going to be. What I will say is that Territory Alliance is the opposition. We assumed that role yesterday. Terry Mills, the new opposition leader, has sent a letter to the Chief Minister extending...
Old again, new again.
Whatever, Natasha. You know, the old incompetent Gunner government Chief Minister. He sent a letter to the Chief Minister extending a hand of friendship and asking if there's anything we can do in terms of coronavirus, asking to be a part of any process that appropriate. He's also written to the Prime Minister a similar letter. So,
but Robin,
we're
you could have done that just as the member for Araloo and the member for Blaine. Any member is entitled to a full briefing and
get
to be
over
informed.
It, Natasha.
The last thing on our minds right now is opposition status. We're focused on Territorians who we've just been talking about how tough businesses are doing it. And you chose this week of all weeks to come out and focus the attention on yourself. To say you're not talking about it, your actions show otherwise.
You're talking about it far more than me. So we're off and running and we're delighted to be the opposition and we look forward to Parliament next week, Katie.
What exactly is the process now in terms of this happening, like it officially sort of happening? And you know, obviously the CLP moving out of the office that they're in and that type of thing.
Well, Katie, What we have seen this week is the most disingenuous, disgusting political play, quite possibly.
Get over it. Honestly.
Robin.
It's finished.
Wow.
It's over.
Robin, unlike you and Terry and Jeff, who for 3.5 years have been self-interested, self-motivated in a blind pursuit for resources, the rest of us are focusing on Territorians. We need stability now more than ever before. This COVID-19 is an unprecedented, uncalculated threat to our community, our society, our health and our economy.
Leah. Honestly, you've been an ineffective opposition. For the last 3.5 years, we've stepped up. We're the opposition now, and we're going to hold this hopeless government to account. People are looking forward to it. Territorians are actually calling us and saying, good on you, let's go for it. Let's see democracy work for the first time in 3.5 years.
I think you're wrong, Robin. I think Territorians are appalled at this behaviour. For 3.5 years, instead of being an effective independent, you and Terry and Jeff have been squabbling about how to try and manipulate the system.
Didn't you just get rid of your leader 3 weeks ago? Didn't you guys just get rid of Gary Higgins, dump him on his head?
Well, Robin,
I mean, you can spin it however you like, Leah. You dump Gary. You're the only one left standing. You're the head of a party that is disintegrating before our eyes.
Robin, that is outrageous, and that is a lie. And anyone can
ask
Gary Higgins. It absolutely is not. And I think people know that Gary and I have enough integrity. You should ask Gary that question.
Asked Gary that question. I asked it to him when he announced that he was retiring, and he said that the reason for the retirement was based on his health.
And to say anything otherwise is gutter politics.
For three and a half years,
you have tried to say you're bringing the Libs and the Nats to town. That failed. Then you tried to create the Northern Australia Party. That failed.
You have shown that
you have no integrity, you have no commitment to the pursuit of ensuring
the
we
CLP
have stable
defunct,
government.
They're finished, they've
it
lost
was,
opposition
look,
status. It's
say,
time to move on.
Robin, it was terrible timing. For two people who are really politically astute, as you and Terry are, I was honestly really surprised at the timing.
I think it's perfect timing. Territorians
are not talking about who's got opposition status. They were talking about the way that, you know, the way that business is going in light of the crisis that we're in with COVID-19. It came across, rightly or wrongly, it came across very self-centred.
Well, I apologise for that, but the timing of most things in politics is not particularly good. We've seen the Labor Party throw people out of their caucus just before Christmas, the Langalat report coming out just before Christmas, it couldn't be debated. We saw Gary Higgins thrown out on his ear a couple of weeks ago. You know, these
but
things
you had,
happen
Robin, you had
when
control
they happen.
Over it. You could have waited till next week.
Yeah,
you could have waited till next month.
We have
it's
seven
perfect timing from
Territorians
my perspective.
Are so focused
Stop
on the future.
About
Territorians.
I want to talk about coronavirus.
I'm talking about Territorians. We have always been talking
about us and get on with your job.
We are solely focused on finding a way through that supports Territorians into the
future.
You
failed miserably,
this
Leah.
Is a pathetic political play by a group of people who have nothing in common other than their spiteful pursuit of resources.
Robin, why was the decision made to do it this week when there is only 7 days left of Parliament sitting? And is that even going ahead? Is Parliament even going ahead next week?
So in terms of Parliament, a final decision hasn't been made. Obviously, it's really important we have legislation, but we are focused on Territorians and the coronavirus. And the Chief Minister has made it quite clear that that is his priority, to support the health of our community and the business of our community. So I understand following the National Cabinet today, a final decision will be made.
Okay,
at this
so
stage, we're planning.
Know.
But in terms of the opposition, I'd just like to add my opinion. Leah, you know, we will disagree across the floor of the Parliament on definitely public policy and bills, but I will give Gary and Leah the credit. They have asked for a briefing on pretty much every single bill. I'd be struggling to find a bill. I have never
I'm a part of the scrutiny committee, Natasha.
Yeah,
I scrutinise every bill
Robin,
that
you
comes
go,
through.
Yourself, Jeff and Terry are often not in Parliament. And
We're not always there. We might not be sitting in the chamber like you have to. You're the leader of government business. You have to be there.
In terms
Your
of the
members
bills,
come in and out of the chamber just as much as we do.
Okay, so don't play that game, Natasha. This is something factual we could point to. We could go back to the pieces of legislation, and there's been probably close to 100 pieces of legislation, I could guarantee you that the government and Leah Garry, the CLP opposition, would have spoken on every single bill. I challenge Terry and Robin and Jeff, how many times did they speak on bills?
And voting on the bills.
You know, Natasha, you're one of the leaders of the most hopeless government the Territory has ever seen. You can sit back and wah, wah.
Great words,
you know,
coming
what?
From you,
you know,
Robin.
What it says to me, we are on the right track. When you got the dismal CLP and the Labor Party joining together once again to try and put
I'm just pointing out some facts, Katie.
Criticism on a new party that's going to give hope to Territory.
Can I go back to the question, Robin, that I had for you? Why was the decision made on timing this week with only 7 days left of Parliament? Why? Because, I mean, the thing is, you or Jeff could have joined Territory Alliance now for some time.
Look,
She has always ruled out joining.
I am not going to spend
any more time talking
about myself, because when I do, you'll all chime in and say all they want to do is talk about themselves. You know what? I want to talk about coronavirus.
I want to talk
about crime in Alice Springs.
No one believes you. That's why I made the jump. That's why I joined Territory Alliance.
I want to know the answer why you made the decision this week to make this announcement when there is only 7 days left, when you could have done it any time over the last 6 months.
Well, that's not entirely true, Katie. The Territory Alliance Party was only formed at the end of last year.
Okay, well, when it was formed?
I've taken my time to talk to my community. I live 1,500 kilometres away from where the party started. We've got a serious, serious crime problem in Alice Springs. I've talked to the people of Alice Springs. I know that as an independent, I can't deliver all the strategies required to address that problem. I came to a personal decision last week. I had a very bad week last week. I was inundated with people telling me the most horrific stories probably that I've ever heard. It was the timing was about me realising that I was limited as an independent, and I decided to join Territory Alliance. Now, if that timing doesn't suit the CLP or the Labor government or anyone else, then I'm very, very sorry, but it's about politics and it's about us forming a party to hold this hopeless government to account, to put to bed a dismal, deteriorating CLP and just getting on with the job. And I don't want to talk about it anymore because you're absolutely right. People are sick about
us talking
about it.
But you guys have put it in the spotlight. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to make a decision about it this week, then you've got to be prepared to answer questions on it as well.
I have.
So I want to also ask, given the fact that we are so close to an election, or how many months are we out now? It's in August, however far away that is.
Not long.
It's pretty close. I'm keen to find out sort of how much it's going to cost to really change these things over. I honestly don't have an issue with the opposition changing. And in fact, you know, you guys have got three members. I understand that it's a numbers game, and I don't have an issue with you deciding to join Territory Alliance in any way, shape or form. My concern was that the timing-wise, I just thought it was really poor timing. You've explained to me, though, why you've made that decision
now. I think it's perfect timing. Given that we're going into this crisis, this economic and social crisis with coronavirus, it is important that this government, for the first time, be truly held to account. We've seen the CLP and Labor colluding for 3.5 years to block any attempt to form a decent opposition.
And
of course, they don't want to
hear it. Your record stands for itself, Robin, and I think Natasha's right. We should pull the parliamentary records and see your contribution or lack thereof. This is the situation as I see it. You and Terry and Jeff have cobbled together something that is purely to circumvent the democratic process.
Territorians voted
for their government. Territorians thereby voted for their opposition, and Territorians should have the opportunity to make their decisions in August.
That is the appropriate and proper process. You are not legitimate. There is nothing about
Territory Alliance that is legitimate. They do not share an ideology. They are cobbled together from previous parties. They've hobbled it together.
You have cobbled this together
in a desperate attempt to gain power and resources at a time when we need stability in the parliament. Robin, the government is following our lead on many of our initiatives. I announced 2 months ago that power and and water prices Leah. Should be fixed. And the government then
I
made that announcement
you,
yesterday.
I really
and what
do.
Are you guys doing? You're suggesting we increase power and water prices.
All right,
you
I have, feel sorry for
I'm
you, Leah.
Take
I'm
a
sorry
very
this
short
has happened
break.
To you. You need to take
you
some time to get
You need to be sorry to
it.
Territorians, Robin,
it's
because it is an absolute...
Leah.
That's right. And let the people decide. This
Absolutely.
Is about Territorians.
All right, well, it's time for us to wrap up in here. Thank you so much, Leah Finocchiaro, the leader of the CLP and member for Spillett, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, and have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everyone.
You too. And Robin Lamley, thank you so much for being here from Alice Springs and the Deputy Leader of Territory Alliance and also the member for Araluen.
Yep.
Thank you for
Thanks
your
so much
time.
For having me, Katie. Always a pleasure.
And we've also got Natasha Files, our Attorney General and Minister for Health and member for Nightcliff. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Wolfie.